Welcome to the Jesus Sisters Podcast. It's not a coincidence you're here.
We thank you for joining us on this journey to seek a close and personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ.
I'm so excited to be here with you today, my Jesus sister. We're talking about something that I'm extremely passionate about and that Jesus commanded us to do as he had just been resurrected and he instructed his followers before he ascended to heaven. And it's just so cool and so exciting. And we're going to be talking about the Great Commission today. We're going to talk about being fishers of men. And I can't think of anybody that I'd rather do this with. So I'm excited to have you with me.
Yes, this is like the whole premise for the Jesus Sisters podcast is the Great Commission. So it just fits. Great topic discussion. I can't wait to unwrap. We got lots of nice little nuggets in here. And I'm just, thrilled that I'm doing this with you and thrilled that people are joining us because I think we got some really good stuff in the works.
Yes, I love it. So if you don't have your Bible, grab it. We're going to be doing looking at lots of scripture today. It's probably nice to just be able to flip to it or, thank God for the Bible app, grab your phone, grab your Bible app, then you can follow along and mark these scriptures as well. But before we get too far in, I'm going to pray us in so we can get this party started. You ready?
Ready.
All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful that we get to be here together to talk about you, to talk about your commandment, Lord, to go out and be fishers of men, to bring people to you and to the word and to baptize them in Jesus' name. And we just ask that you give us the words that you would want us to share, Lord. Help us to open our minds and our hearts and so that we can really interpret your scripture and the way that you wanted us to read it, Lord, and what your intent was. But that everything that we do here, Lord, it is for you and it's all for your glory. So Lord, just please bless the words that we share with our listeners. And Lord, as they're at home, help them to open their ears so that they can hear your message, whatever that may be for them, Lord. And we ask for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful prayer.
Oh, great, you're so cute. You're so funny when you say it's a beautiful prayer. You're so cute. Thank you, friend. Thank you.
You are welcome.
Okay. All right. So grab those Bibles. Here we go. Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. So this is where the Great Commission begins. So this was the instruction of the resurrected Jesus Christ to his disciples to spread the gospel to all the nations of the world. This is exactly what they have on Wikipedia. So I'm just going to read you what they have there. The Great Commission is outlined in Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, where he's on a mountain in Galilee. And Jesus calls his followers to make disciples of and baptize all nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we would not be doing our job if we didn't read the exact scripture. So all my scripture is the ESV version today. And so we're going to actually read what it says in Matthew 28, 16 through 20. It says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain in which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" And as you can see there, he says, "I have commanded you." It's not like this isn't an optional thing for us, that he has commanded all of us as believers to go out and share this. And I know some people, this is like a place where they get a little uncomfortable. Like they're like, "I don't know what to share. I don't know how to share it." And I just think it's important to think about like who God has created you to be, that we can all reach people in different ways based on our personalities that God has given us, the gifts that he's given us. So for me, that's welcoming people into my home, because we know that my spiritual gift is hospitality. And so for me, that's how I want to make people feel welcome and bring them in. And I know for you, Allie, I feel like you have different gifts in how you talk to people and how you try to bring them in into Jesus and having a relationship with them.
Yeah, I really, I think this is Chyna Phillips, so I don't want to steal her slogan without, but I'm always like, Holy Spirit, activate. I am completely
like in the most eloquent way possible. Holy Spirit, activate.
But really just trying to live my life as, I look at Christ as the example, and I try and do my best to mirror that. Of course, I fall short, but I know sometimes, you can reach people in so many different ways. And, you know, God is so beautiful that he grants us that blessing to be able to do that. And sometimes it's, you know, right in that moment, you're just passing somebody or what, and that's where the moment is. That's your chance. And so not just talking about it, but also for the people that might not want to come up and ask you a question, just showing that in the way that I live, like, you know, I got Jesus all over me. Like, that's my commission is treating others the way that I think Jesus would treat them, and trying to shine the light of him, because you never know who's watching. And, you know, I'm always one to, you know, I always tell my friends, like, if you're going to know me, you're going to know Jesus. I always talk about him. Like, you're going to have to know if you're going to be my friend and you're going to know me, you're going to know Jesus.
Well, I think it's so true about you because people know that you are going to talk about Jesus, and they know that's who you are, that when they do seek, you're the first person that they go to, because they know that you're going to be able to give them the answers that they need. And I always feel like you do such an eloquent job of sharing what God's message is and like the promises that he has for us. And so oftentimes, like Allie was sharing this story with me about a stranger that she met, and how she was just sharing what it means to like have a relationship with Jesus, and how he just loves you, and he came for the broken, and all all these things. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's good. Like, I'm gonna have to remember that. That is a great way to explain God's love. But I want you to share a little bit about that story, because I think it's a great story.
Oh well, okay. You're putting me on the spot, but I
that's okay. It's your story. You got this.
God really does use people to do his work. That's why we're here. And some, you know, it is his, he does not wish for anybody to perish, but for everybody to come to the knowledge of him, because he loves them. And he's going to reach out to us throughout our whole life, even if we want to be turned off or closed off to, he always is reaching out. He's always seeking that one lost sheep. You know, he'll leave the 99 for that. And so I look at those moments like, okay, Lord, you put me with one of your sheep, and I don't, you know, I just need to ask the Holy Spirit to give me the words to say the right things. Cause Holy Spirit knows that person, knows their struggles, what they're dealing with. And so I really rely on that scripture to say, hey, when you can't remember, like, the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance the things that you've learned. I literally have that dialogue in my head. But yep, my neighbor actually, that lives next to my sister, had an experience, and we were just talking about random things. And of course, if you're going to be friends with me, I'm going to bring up Jesus. I brought up Jesus, and I could just tell that, well, actually, he made it known that like there was some like discomfort there. And so then I'm like, okay, I'm used to people that don't believe. And so it turned into the debate. I feel like men always really want to like debate the scientific.
Well, we know some women that would like to do that too. So there's that.
Yeah. But I feel like men really are more like closed off to like some of like the supernatural, you know. They're like, did God really part the Red Sea? Did God, you know, they can't get their scientific mind, even though God created science, over that. And so I try, cause you know, I, you know, I'm not going to get into all those debates about, you know, well, the dinosaurs are millions of years old. It's like you could give arguments for anything, and people will be like, well, I'm not going to believe a book that was created by man. But yet that's how we learn outside of that. Like, it's God breathed. I know that non-believers might not know that, but that is what it is. And also, every knowledge that it came from somebody, from somewhere. You know, it came from a man somewhere saying, okay, I'm going to put this in a textbook, or and we'll believe that. Or people would rather just listen to the world instead of opening the book of the Bible and reading it for yourself and seeing if it comes alive for you.
Right.
So that is one thing I always just try and encourage, like, hey, don't sell yourself short and just say, I'm not going to open it. But how I was able to, I think, you know, maybe reach this man was I was able to meet his daughter, and I could immediately tell that he loved his daughter. And he was just debating me back and forth. And I said, okay, tell me this then. That's your daughter over there, right? Yep. And you love her, right? And he goes, well, yeah, of course. Well, why do you love her? Because that's like, she's a part of me. She is, you know, like the spitting image of me. She's a mini me. And I said, well, that is how God feels about you, because he's your creator. And I said, and if you can have that feeling of love outside of science, like, where do you think that feeling of love comes from? Like, what do you think created love? And right then and there, he said, well, I guess, you know, maybe there's a God of some, but I don't know if I believe Jesus. So at that moment, I just said, well, you know what? And he said, there's nothing you can say, anybody can say or do, that is ever going to get me to believe in Jesus. And I said, well, I don't think you've ever experienced the power of prayer. So right now I'm going to stand on his word today. And I boldly am going to pray that God, Jesus Christ, would show up in your life so undeniably that you would get a miraculous encounter, touch from the Lord, that you cannot deny that Jesus exists and that he is your Lord and Savior. Little does he know, I have put out prayers online. Like, there are hundreds of people praying for him, because I'm like, yes, Lord, I will step up. I will pray. I will be
bold. I love it.
I will be the Jesus girl, like, to say, hey, I know that the world might be like, get away from me, but you gotta take some of this. This is what you need.
She said. I love it.
one of my experiences. Sorry, I probably went off. But yeah.
Hey, no, girl, this is the good stuff. This is what it's all about. That's part of the Great Commission right there. Like, those opportunities where other people might have shied away from that conversation, you dug in a loving way, and God showed up for you and gave you the words and gave you what he needed to hear to kind of open that door, to get that crack. And so I love that about you, and don't ever stop being that way. Not that you will, but I just want to tell you, I love it.
And I think that's part of it, is we might not always see people come to Christ. It's just, God is just asking us to throw the seeds, and it's up to him if he wants those, what is going to happen with the seed.
Slinging those mustard seeds.
Grow that. Yep. Yep. Well, I just, to touch on the Great Commission, I love that you brought up how it is a command, that those were the last words of Jesus. God gave Jesus authority over heaven and earth. So hallelujah, we're saved. He reigns forever, King Jesus, with that authority. And with that same authority, Jesus commands that we share the good news. And I think that that's so important, like that, and so profound, that these were his last words and was his Great Commission. And sharing the good news can be many different ways and forms of how you're doing that. I mean, look at how you're doing that with the Bible study and actually, yes, like, making the word of God come alive to all of these women. Like, that's part of what you're doing and your journey of the Great Commission. And, you know, if anybody has been following us from, you know, day one, hopefully you can see our fruit and our growth and, like, what God is doing in our lives when we're just sold out to Jesus. And he will take whoever, doesn't matter how educated, uneducated, Saul to Paul, baby, Saul to Paul. Like, we can all be Saul's to Paul's. Like, just know that God is no respecter of persons. Like, he has a calling on your life. You don't need to be Billy Graham. You know, Billy Graham is Billy Graham. You can be you and be just as, you know, successful with whatever God is putting in your life. And I do feel like I know there's going to come a time where that's what we're going to answer to as believers. I think some people get really scared of the judgment, but I think God is going to say, hey, Allie, hey, Laurel, what did you do with the time that I gave you?
Yes, girl, you are literally preaching right now. I got goosebumps when you started saying that because it's so true. I mean, we started this podcast just as a love and being obedient to God, but to see him working in our lives is so beautiful. And yes, I love how you say sold out for Jesus. Yeah, girl, I'm sold out for Jesus. I'm totally sold out for Jesus. And I love that so much.
Sold out for Jesus. I do like Ephesians 2:17-18 because it's just a reminder of Jesus and what he did. And it gives us that, like, okay, again, here are our marching orders. He brought the good news of peace to you Gentiles who are far away from him, and peace to the Jews who are near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. Again, it's all about Jesus. It doesn't matter who, what, any of those factors. It's about Jesus and the work that he did. So we can all come to the Father. We can all, like, he brought the good news of peace to both the Gentiles who are far away. So if you feel like you're far away, like, Jesus was like, I came for you.
I love it. It's so good. I also wanted to read about another part in the Bible where Jesus is asking his followers to become fishers of men, and say, he tells them he's going to make them fishers of men. And obviously this is before the Great Commission, but it's him preparing his people to go out. And this is in Matthew also, but it's in chapter 4, verses 18 through 23. And it says, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father. Oh gosh, I don't know why I can't get this right. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And I just like this because it's like Jesus is really setting the stage for us as to, like, what's going to come for the Great Commission. But I love how obedient that these men are. They don't say, oh, well, let me think about it. Let me go talk to my wife. Let me go decide what I have to do. They said immediately, it says immediately they left their nets and followed him. And I think that's so important that when God prompts us, and in this case, it was Jesus directly saying, you know, follow me, that they just said, okay, whatever you want, because they just knew that he was the Son of God, and that he was just this, I was going to say this divine force, but that's not really, I don't know that that's biblical, but you know what I'm saying. Thank you for reading my brain. The Messiah, we're going to follow him. We're going to drop everything and follow him. But I would encourage anyone who's listening that if you are being called to be a fisher of men, that you just drop your nets and immediately reach out to that person, because the gift that you get, the blessing that you get for seeing someone come to Jesus and accept Jesus, even if you think that they're going to fight you on it, or they're going to have questions about it, and you're not really prepared for that. But when people do say yes to Jesus, it is the most beautiful gift you'll ever get to be a part of.
So true. And you just line that up perfectly for my next scripture. And something that when you were reading that, I love that boldness where they just dropped everything. And I do like think that, you know, there are many people that are like that. But I also like the other part of the story when he was calling others. It just shows the beauty of where God will meet you where you're at. And you also don't need to be the person to say, hey, I'm going to immediately drop the net to do that. Because there was the one who said, let me go and tell my father. And he was like, mm-mm. Like you say it like, you know, we're not going to go talk to our father. Like today is the day of salvation. But like how God will still give you that nudge to be like, even if you're not completely ready, he'll still say like, get ready. Squirrel, when you were talking about all that, I thought about
No, girl, that's good. That's what this is about. Holy Spirit, be right, activated. Right. He's moving.
But I wanted to read Matthew 9:37-38, and then move into John to just tie it all in a pretty bow, to build upon what you were saying. So Matthew 9:37-38, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. And that has always stuck out to me because I feel like, you know, that so many people are ready to accept and live for Christ if someone would share and show them the good news, you know, like share the gospel. Jesus asked us to pray for harvesters. So, you know, right now I boldly pray that we would be harvesters and hearers and doers of his word because the harvest is ripe and God is using us to accomplish his will so that we would be, you know, prepared for Jesus to use us. Here we are, Lord, show us the harvest, Lord, give us those who are ready so we can show them the way to you. You know, open their hearts, Lord, like that is the prayer for the Great Commission. And then what you were saying about the blessing, like that you get when you see people come to the Lord, that you hear about that in John 4:35-38. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields that they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal. Mm. So that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor.
So ooh, that was so good. That was so good.
Yeah. Oh, I'm like, you lined that up perfectly.
I didn't even know you were coming with that. The 1-2 punch. That was so good.
Okay. So it's like we get to see that we get to reap that harvest that maybe we didn't even sow. And also that they're saying like seeing people come to Christ and be adopted into the kingdom of God's family, that is the harvest. And we get to experience that joy of seeing that, knowing that these people, we're going to be in eternity in bliss with Jesus is we can't even comprehend. So yeah, I just love that all tied together.
Ooh, well, that was a God moment because it couldn't have been teed up better than that. I have another scripture, but I'm going to wait because this one's in Acts and it goes a little bit further into talking about the part where he asks people to be baptized. So it, because in the Great Commission, he specifically talks about, go out and then make disciples of nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But I was going to see if you had any other scripture you wanted to read before that, before we jumped into Acts.
Sure. I can start with some of my 2 Timothy. I have a lot actually in 2 Timothy, but this will be one of my bigger scriptures. So 2 Timothy 2:2-14. You have heard me teach things that you have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for when they cannot please the officer who enlisted them, And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. And hardworking farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Think about what I am saying. The Lord will help you understand all these things. Always remember that Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. This is the good news I preach. And because I preach this good news, I am suffering and have been chained like a criminal. But the word of God cannot be chained. So I am willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those God has chosen. This is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we also live with him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. Remember everyone about these things and command them in God's presence to stop fighting over words. Such arguments are useless and they can ruin those who hear them. I mean, this is like the formula to accomplish the commission. If this advice was applied, we did this as a world. Like, can you imagine what would happen? But this is the commission for us to do. To produce true believers, to teach and commission. And then in turn, we know that if others are starting to teach and share the good news, we know that we are accomplishing, the Great Commission. So it also says that we must be ready and prepared and equipped to disciple others so that they can share the faith and winning people to Christ. This, is our harvest. So we also need to be trained on the word and know it so that we don't lead others astray. And today, just talking a little bit to touch on it, because I know we see it, especially in today, that people like to distort the gospel and not accurately represent the Lord with, false teachings. We see the prosperity teachings being one, but we must also look at Jesus as the example that he gave us when he walked this earth. Was Jesus all about prosperity? Was he living in mansions? No, he was completely selfless. And if we're supposed to be imitators of Christ, we need to look at his example. So if people aren't, showing you Jesus, then that should be a red flag. And we should always be praying for discernment, and God will grant us the wisdom to understand. Because in 1 John 4:1, it says, "Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God, for there are many false prophets in the world. This is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that the person has the Spirit of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world and is indeed already here."
Okay.
So, I mean, that's a lot of stuff, but part of the Great Commission is knowing these things and being able to discern, and also doing that for yourself. So we can see the true gospel was, not always popular or what people wanted to hear. And we see that in today's world, we have those false teachers because people want it to be conformed to their own beliefs, but we must continue even through persecution to teach the good news. And Jesus said that many would be mistreated and persecuted for his name's sake, but we continue to proclaim so others will believe. And again, we just throw those seeds and let God do the rest.
One of the things that really stood out in the scripture in 2 Timothy, I'm not sure which verse it was, but the verse of, "But the word of God cannot be chained." And I think that that is just so cool, because if you are leading people to having a relationship with Jesus, like you have got to get them in the word. Like, people have got to start reading it for themselves, because the word of God cannot be chained. And when they're in the word, they're going to get all of this, right? And so that's so important. So thank you for sharing that, Allie. I'm going to read Philippians 2 verses 12 through 13. It says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." And, I just, That's just so good, because it's, you know, God is talking about, you know, you have to work this out in my absence, right? So he gives us the Great Commission before he ascends to heaven, but to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. And so that this is all about God who works in us when we are fishers of men, that it's God working through us for his glory, right? To both will and to work for his good pleasure. So I don't know. I just really liked that verse because it's just a reminder of like everything that we're doing when we are out there bringing people to the Lord, it's for him and it's for his glory. And so it's just important to remember that.
Absolutely. Do you want me to move into my second part of 2 Timothy before we go into
Go ahead.
Acts and some of those other things?
Yeah.
Okay. 2 Timothy 2:15 to 19. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. Avoid worthless, foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. This kind of talk spreads like cancer, as in the case of Hymenaeus and Philetus. They have left the path of truth, claiming that the resurrection of the dead has already occurred. In this way, they have turned some people away from the faith. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription: the Lord knows who are his, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil.
Woo.
And I'm just like, yep, God knows our true condition and examines our hearts. He knows what kind of harvesters and workers we have been. So we must align our lives to the word, because we will be held accountable, as we kind of talked about earlier. You know, God will make us account for the time that he gave us.
Yeah.
He's going to say, like, did you feed my sheep? Did you tell that person that crossed your path? Did you show them me? Did you share with them the grace and mercy I so freely gave you? And, you know, telling them that their Father in heaven knows them and sees them and loves them, and that they are fully known, and God went to prepare a place for them and took the punishment of sin and conquered death so that we could be with Jesus. And he doesn't wish for anybody to perish. He wants all his children, even the ones we may not see as God's children. But he is, again, no respecter of persons, and he loves us all and wants us all in his kingdom.
I love that. That's so good. He wants us all. And so whenever I would encourage you, like whenever you feel just the slightest prompting, just act. God will, like you said earlier, God will meet you where you're at, and he will show up for you, and he will give you the word. So often whenever I feel prompted to talk to somebody about Jesus, and I know that either they're distant or have no relationship and don't know him at all, sometimes it scares me. And so I have to literally pray, Lord, give me the words. But the key is that we are prompted and we act on it. And so thank you for sharing that, Allie. So I'm going to jump into Acts. It's the very beginning of Acts. It's like, hello, Paul gets us going right away. Acts 1 through chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. And this is going to talk a little bit about the baptism piece. And so as in this book, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he had given his commandments through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them for 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them to not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So that when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth."
Woo!
So it's being talked about baptizing with water and being baptized with the Holy Spirit, which a lot of people refer to as being baptized by fire. And so knowing that there's those two different baptisms, but like, I know that, that when God or Jesus, I keep saying God, but I know they're one and the same, but specifically Jesus, he's asking them to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's just important that we bring people to Jesus, right? We are disciples, and that they receive salvation, but it's also important that we stay with those people to help them grow and then make sure they're being baptized by water. And, you know, that God is going to continue to carry them, and then that they understand that through that they are called to be fishers of men, and that the Great Commission now applies to them as well. So it's not like we just get people into salvation and then we're done. There's multiple layers of what we're called to do after that. And you might not be with somebody through that entire walk, but it's just important to make sure that we're talking about that and sharing that information. Because being baptized is super important.
Oh, it is so important. Like it's our public declaration of saying like, hey, sold out to Jesus. He paid the price, and, you know, no turning back. And I think that, you know, something very spiritual definitely happens when, we get baptized. That leads me into, my Mark chapter, or Mark verse, is Mark 6:16. Mark 16:16-18. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover.
Woo.
I mean, like, whoa.
Like, who knew? Who knew all those things are going to happen? And you were just thinking you're going to believe in Jesus. And now there's so many other things.
And I think part of that is when we're baptized, you know, the Holy Spirit really, you know, comes into our lives where we're able to do some of those things. It's so funny because, you know, how we were talking about speaking in tongues, our side conversations in private, Laurel and I have been talking about speaking in tongues. But I think something else that's important to bring up about, you know, it is very important to be baptized, but, you know, you can still be saved and not be baptized. And we know that because of the sinner who on the cross, when he called out to Jesus and Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Right. We know that he wasn't baptized, and you know, Jesus said, you will, you know, see, but there is blessings, and it's very important to, you know, have that public declaration.
Yes.
And Jesus said, deny me and my Father will deny you. So, I think
I love that really you important. Said that public declaration. It's so important.
It is. That's, I always, you know, when I got baptized, I was like, this is my public declaration. Side note, Laurel and I totally got baptized together.
Oops.
I wanted to read Romans 10:8-10 and then 12-17. Definitely read all of Romans. I mean, definitely read all of Romans, but Romans 10, I had to break it up because, you know, I can get carried away with my scripture, but it says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Yes. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ.
Oh, it's so good.
And that was a lot. That was a lot, but it
was
also
worth
shows
every
us,
second.
It also shows us that sometimes we might share the gospel and it might not be this come to Jesus moment for them, but it's just important to remember to not let that thwart the plan, to just continue to throw the seeds and let God do the rest. Even people deny Jesus when he walked the earth. He did all these miracles, and the religious Pharisees who knew the Bible better than anybody couldn't even recognize when their Messiah was coming. And I think it's important to know those things so that you don't get tripped up on feeling like I was rejected, I was persecuted, people are looking at me like I'm a Jesus freak. Like Jesus kind of told us that the world, we talked about in our last episode, the word is foolishness to those who are perishing. And we have to have that mindset, because we're out here trying to save souls and do, kingdom work. And it's not always going to be the prettiest or easiest work. And so it's important to, like we say, armor up, suit up, because we got some work.
Well, I think what's also really important is that, we talk about God's timing, right? And we talk about God's timing is perfect. And we also have to remember that God's timing is perfect when it comes to others receiving his salvation. Sometimes people have to hit their rock bottom because they need that complete transformation. And God knows that until they hit a certain point, they're not going to see it, to be able to acknowledge it or be open to it. I'm thinking of a friend in particular that when I first met her, talking about Jesus, she was very adamant about like, nope, I do not believe. And, I feel like I have this power within me, and that I, I was able to give birth, and like that was from within me. That was from nothing else. And in my mind, I was like, Lord, give me the words. Like, how am I going to come against this? At that moment, it didn't feel right to share with her exactly the way that I wanted to, but just planted the seed of, who Jesus is and what that means to have a relationship with him. And, fast forward 2+ years later, all these women around me are coming to Bible study, and we're always talking about Bible study and how cool it is and Jesus and our relationship with God. And no one's ever intentionally tried to make her feel weird or force her into it. But the other day she was just like really seriously just down. And I was like, I know that you don't believe, but I would love it if you just came to Bible study. It's a great group of women. I thought if I could just get her there and I could have people praying for her before she got there, that, God's going to do the rest. And sure enough, she ended up showing up to Bible study that night. And we were all just shocked, but we've been praying for her, and that, while she hasn't accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior yet, I'm okay with that, because God's still working on her heart. And it's my job, as being a fisher of men, is to continue to shine God's light and know that it's of him, and just continue to pray for her, to try to lift her up, to bring her in. And so that just the reason I tell you that story is that because, just because she hasn't accepted Jesus yet doesn't mean that she won't. And God is working in her. He's doing his thing. And so we just have to trust that God's got all of those details, and not just, some of them. He's got all of them.
And it's so true. And God uses many people to, accomplish his will. And I do think that God is going to show us too, just to really, because of who his character is, when that end of time comes and we're all standing before our Lord, I think he's going to say, I showed you this person. I brought this person to you. I've been calling you your whole life, trying to reveal myself to you. And this is how I did it.
Yeah.
And it's through my people that I've been, because that's why we're here. And so sometimes just taking that little step of, even if they're not, you know, saying, hey, come into my home. Like, we got good food, good people, laughter, you know, we'll lift your spirits. That is sometimes just sharing the good news, because that is every good thing is from above. The goodness that we have comes from Jesus. And we want to share some of the godly attributes that he's given us, so that we're not just talking about Jesus, but showing Jesus. And a lot of times that is how people come to know Jesus, is they're like, I can't deny this. Like, you've gone through this and this and this, and you're still standing. Like, what is your secret? And like, it's not a secret. It's Jesus Christ.
It's Jesus, baby. It's Jesus.
It's Jesus. And I think what we've kind of heard, and what I've been reading in Timothy, that I think is really important when you're sharing the word. And sometimes people deal with all kinds of oppressions, especially when they don't know the Lord, where people can come at you and they're angry. And that is part of the sometimes, and you're like, Lord, how can I speak to them where it will be beneficial and not cause strife and division? Because sometimes you just want to stand up for the Lord and be like, no, but Jesus can stand on his own. So it's very important to really think about what you're saying and not get caught up in you know, quarrelsome talk. And that's what it talks about in 2 Timothy 2:23-26, but refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. I mean, so that's what we're up against. But it also says, like, Jesus does the watering. We throw the seeds, and Jesus is like, I do the rest. God, may God grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. And when we remember, like, we want them to come to their senses, because they're in the snare of the devil, and they're being captive to do his will. When you think of that, it's like, how can you not want to love on those people and show the light? I mean, that's when we know what we're up against, it helps us not get caught up in useless quarrels that do cause strife and confusion that can cause damage to the cause. So it's important. We must handle the gospel, the word of truth, with care and accuracy, being in the word, meditating it, studying it, so we can understand and grow in the faith and knowledge, so that we're equipped. You know, God can choose anyone he wants, and you don't know, or you don't need to know, you know, theology school and have prestigious awards. Like I said, you don't have to be Billy Graham or, you know, some of these big preachers we see to share the good news of the Bible. The Bible is all that we need. If God can change Saul to Paul in an instant, and look at everything Paul has done for the kingdom. And we also now have the Holy Spirit, who helps us and will move and help us speak for the commission. And then we can also remember in Luke, when he said he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And then remembering the Samaritan woman is one. I mean, when I get to heaven, I'm going to go up to her, because I feel like I've been the Samaritan woman. And it says, John 4:39-42, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not just because of what you have told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the savior of the world. And, you know, she shared the good news boldly, despite what others thought about her and her reputation. Jesus told a woman, a Samaritan woman, which, if you know the laws and like the way Jewish looked at Samaritans, there was a division. But he purposely chose her, somebody that had, you know, you live with this man who's not your husband and you've been married 5 times, to show that, like, he can choose anybody. It doesn't matter where you have been or where you come from. Like, Jesus loves you, and he has a plan and a purpose for you. Like, you don't get caught up in that kind of stuff. Like, all you need is one touch and you can change lives because God will use you. He's no respecter of persons. So I think it's just, you know, Jesus changes us, and this intrigues people because we're all sinners in need of a savior.
Oh, sorry. Jesus sister. That was beautiful. God was seriously stirring in you. That was the Holy Spirit. And I love that you are so touched by that. And it's a great story. You're right. God can use any of us. I mean, so often I feel inadequate, but God continues to remind me that, like, if he's called me, that I'm going to say yes and do it over and over and over again, because I don't want to say no to God. But I love that. Yeah, he can use anyone. It doesn't matter how broken you are, or how close or distant you are, but that he can still use you, and he will do the rest. He'll draw you, further in. I just, as you were reading some scripture, I just felt like God really put it on my heart, to share one more story of, being fishers of men that has happened in my life. And I had the most beautiful story happen at Easter. My brother was in town with his family, and he has a son that's 5. So my nephew, who's 5 years old, we were just talking about God, and we were talking about Jesus, and they were just sharing that they just love, that he just loves God, and he wants to, you know, he's always talking about God. And they had driven past an accident on the freeway and just coming to meet us, and that he said, we need to pray right now. Like, and he stopped what he was doing and he prayed for the people in the car. And I was just so touched, because they live on the other side of the country. I haven't got to spend as much time with him. And I was like, that was all I needed. I had this children's Bible that I was like, what am I going to do with this children's Bible? It's too young for my kids. I was like, what am I going to do with it? And that little whisper in my voice was like, no, just hang on to it. Like, you know, just don't get rid of it. So I tucked it in the closet, and I was thinking I was going to give it to a different family. But when my brother and sister-in-law were sharing the story with me, I was like, oh my gosh, I have to give him this Bible, this kid's Bible. And so I gave it to him, and he looked at it like, what is this? And his mom goes, it's all about God. He's like, said, it's about God. And so he opened it up, and they said he read the whole thing on the way home, back to my mom's house. And I was like, well, you guys have got to come to church. Like, you got to come to church. And you know, it's busy because it was Easter and all the things. And we were out late. And I thought, you know, I woke up the next morning and I was like, I'm not going to harass them because they're probably tired. And it's like a 30-minute drive. And sure enough, my brother sent me a text message that next morning, and he said, can you send us the address of the church? And I was like, thank you, Jesus. Like, God is working, right? And at the end of the sermon on Easter, you know, as they often do, you know, they ask you to raise your hand if you want to raise your hand for Jesus. And raising your hand is like raising your heart to Jesus. And, you know, his whole family was there. I had no idea what was going on. My eyes were closed. And later that day, my brother shared the story that his son had raised his hand for Jesus. And I just, now I'm going to cry. I was just so touched that it just, that's just that prompting, right? Where you just invite in, like, God just did the rest. It was just my job to invite them to church, and he did the rest. And then I also found out that my sister-in-law also raised her hand that day. And so it's so beautiful. It's such a gift. So even though you think people may say no, and I thought, I was convinced myself that they weren't going to show up for church, and they did. And it's just so beautiful. And I just am so thankful that God gave me that opportunity to see that and experience that. So keep asking people, just keep asking, just stay out there, sharing the good word.
You got to see the harvest.
The harvest, and now I'm crying. Like, what is happening today? Like, right,
Holy Spirit
is activated. Yes,
but no, I think that there's a lot that we can learn from children, because they have this innocence, and I feel like they're close to God because you know, the world hasn't, you know, bogged them down, where they're able to see the supernatural spiritualness of heaven. And they, you know, we see that of so much, where kids are like, they have this experience of Jesus, and you're like, how would they know? Like, their brain isn't even formed enough to know these things, but somehow we can gain so much out of these little children that are just so full of love and full of Jesus, because the world hasn't corrupted their mindset. And so we can learn so much from the love that they give and that pure faith that they have. This wasn't planned, but Matthew 19:14 says, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these."
I love it.
And I think that it's because they are, you know, close to Jesus. I really feel that way about
Well, thank God they are, right? Because somebody's got to talk some sense into these adults around here. Like, my sister-in-law did share, she said, you know, that a lot of it is to see her son's, you know, just this idea that he knows that there's a God, and he's just so young and little, and, you know, that played on her heart as well. And I just think it's so beautiful that even though he's five, you know, and he's a child, we can still be teaching our parents things, and that, you know, God is in all those details as well. And so thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus, that, you know, he would reveal such things to his little lambs that would, you know, break down the walls for us adults to be able to come to the knowledge of Christ and see Christ through these little children. It's so beautiful and pure and innocent. I mean, it's special.
It's definitely special. Well, I think we did it, Jesus sister. I think that this is a great way to wrap up our season. This is going to be our last episode of season 5. That's hard to believe. I feel like I don't know where the time goes. But we're going to stay connected with you all. We haven't decided exactly how we're going to do that quite yet. So we're going to be praying on that and talking about that. But I think this is the absolute beautiful way to end season 5. And before we go, we definitely want to share our Jesus jams. And this one was shared with me by a friend, and I was like, hello, this is what our next Jesus sister episode is on. So I'm definitely using this, and it's called The Commission. And it's by Kane, and it's just like a beautiful, it sounds like a beautiful love story, but it's all about, you know, the Great Commission. And so it seemed perfect. So make sure you listen to that song. You're going to love it. You will not be disappointed.
Yes. And my Jesus jam, little background, this is one of the very first Christian concerts I went to. I was maybe 8-9 years old, and I bought their CD, and they're like R&B, but singing for the Lord. And I thought they were so cool. And I listened to this CD for years, and to be honest, never understood the words. But as I was doing this episode, song popped into my head, and I just was singing the lyrics, and I was like, and it's called The Call. It's by Anointed. And I was singing the lyrics, and I was like, this is all about the Great Commission, being fishers of men, all the things I think that we think of as believers of hindrances or reasons why it, like, if you listen to the lyrics, it lines up perfectly. I felt like it was a God moment for me where it came full circle. I was like, I was singing this when I was 9 and 10, not knowing what the lyrics meant, but here you are, God, like, hey, you were singing this for me, and I'm going to hold you to it. Like, are you going to answer the call? So hopefully, you know,
are you going to answer the call? Yes, I am.
Yep. So add that to your playlist. It's just lots of good stuff all around.
I love it. Well, what a beautiful episode. Thank you, Jesus sister, for being you. And thank you, Jesus, for just loving us so fiercely and continuing to just pour into us and allow us to grow closer to you. So what a wonderful season, and I love you, Jesus sister. And until we start our next season, be blessed.
be blessed. Stay in the word, stay armored up. And if you need any prayers, you can always reach out on our Facebook page. You know, we're going to be coming up with something to stay connected again. So yeah, lots of good stuff in the works for our next season, but yeah, just be blessed and you know, share the good news. Hopefully this encourages you to reach out to those far from Christ and gives you a little bit of gumption to go out there and be bold and just be sold out for Jesus.
Yes, be sold out for Jesus. Love it.
Amen, Jesus sister. Love you.
Love you. Amen.